For more on Game 3 and what we should come to expect from the Caps in Game 4, I now bring in Ben Raby of the Capitals Radio Network. Ben will have pregame, postgame coverage, as well as in-game updates alongside John Walton and Ken Sabourin, who will have the call for Game 4 from Raleigh. Ben, welcome back to Unleashing Fury, and thanks so much for taking some time to chat with me today.
Yes, sir. Good to be back, Jordan.
Right into it, the sense that I got from following coverage of the team getting ready for this series against Carolina was that this Capitals team was relaxed, they were very businesslike, and not really overly excited to start their 2019 postseason. This team has had its moments of brilliance on display in the first two games of this series in D.C., but really just flat struggled in Game 3. We know how ineffective and unproductive they were with the puck offensively in the loss. So my question to you is, what was the atmosphere of the Wednesday practice in Raleigh like? Was there a larger sense of urgency and pace as Todd Reirden put his players through drills? Was there an added level of enthusiasm from the players? What did it look like to you?
Yeah, I would say, and in speaking to a number of the players after practice, there's still a kind of cool, calm, and collected demeanor about them. I don't think anyone is pushing the panic button or anything like that just yet. Capitals still maintaining the 2-1 series lead, and I still think there's a quiet confidence to them given what they went through last spring and continuing to reap the benefits from that postseason run. They dealt with adversity. They dealt with some difficult situations last spring en route to the title, you know, blowing a 2-0 series lead against Tampa in the East Final. They trailed that series 3-2. They were able to rally. Examples like that that they still have in the memory bank that they could draw on. I don't think losing one game here to Carolina is necessarily going to frazzle them too much. Obviously, the nature of the defeat, the 5-0 loss that it was, you know, it does raise the antenna to an extent, but I don't think there's too much panic just yet. That being said, we could tell you some lineup tweaks that the Capitals will be making for tomorrow, juggling up the lines, the trios, a little bit, and we'll see if that's just the right combination to light a little bit of a spark, because obviously you don't want to return home coming on Saturday tied 2-apiece with momentum seemingly at that point on Carolina's side.
I asked Todd Reirden after the loss that this would be a game they would more or less throw away and try to forget about, considering how lopsided the result was. And Reirden made it clear that it wouldn't be the case, as there's always something to be learned from a game, whether it's a win or a blowout loss. What do you think the lesson learned from Game 3 was, and how did that carry over into the Wednesday practice, if at all?
Yeah, I think one of the red flags from the other night that has certainly been acknowledged is the Capitals can't be spending that much time in their own zone. And that's maybe easier said than done, but there's an acknowledgement that the Carolina Hurricanes, among their strengths, among what led them to success during the year, is when they gain the offensive zone, when they get working on the forecheck, as Braden Holtby described them in a complimentary way, he said they could be annoying. They could be a handful when they get in below the circles and start working down low. And the Capitals really saw that firsthand, particularly in Game 3 the other night. The Hurricanes gave them all they could handle. The Capitals had a very difficult time getting out of their own zone. The breakouts were an issue the other night for the Capitals. They're very aggressive on the forecheck, Carolina. If you can combat that forecheck, if you can break out of your zone cleanly and start to head up ice, the Capitals are optimistic they could potentially take advantage of some odd man rushes in transition, because what Carolina does so well on their forecheck is they really make it a 5-man forecheck. In other words, their defensemen are chipping in or pinching in, and they're very aggressive. But should you get the puck out of your own zone, you could potentially go the other way in transition, as the Capitals have. They did that certainly in Games 1 and 2, a number of their even-strength goals coming as a result of what I just described right there. So, look, the thing that I think they could pick up from the other night and what they're seeing in video is how often they were pinned in their own zone. And an area they'll be looking to clean up for tomorrow night very much are their breakouts, which starts with the blue liner, starts with the Capitals defenseman, but they need help. They need help from their forwards coming back, giving them looks for passes. And there was an acknowledgement both at practice and then afterwards in the dressing room that it is an area they're aware of. And you know, one that they need to clean up for game four.
John Carlson explained that it essentially starts with the defenseman's ability to move the puck ahead or keep the puck in on dump-ins and play it to the forwards. He said that after the game on Monday. Do you feel Carlson sort of hit it on the head there? And do you think that they sort of made that a focal point as you alluded to in practice?
Yeah, again, it starts with the blue liners. It starts with the likes of Carlson when they retrieve the puck down low, but consensus as well is they need support. They need help from the forwards coming back and, again, giving them those options and giving them those looks to combat, again, a very aggressive Carolina forecheck. So a little bit of the old five-man unit there as far as the Capitals are concerned in getting cleaner breakouts and, you know, starting the rush up ice, because really the other night they were pinned inside their own zone far, far too much.
You mentioned sort of a little bit of a tweak in the line pairings. I understand TJ Oshie will be now on the top line with Backstrom and Ovechkin. Looking at that and sort of all the other changes that Reardon and his staff made, who do you think needs to step up the most in game four and even in game five back in DC on Saturday?
Yeah, I think not necessarily any one individual, but you can sort of clump the bottom six together, if you will. And when you think back to the success of last spring, you think of some of the quote-unquote unsung heroes, the contributions they were getting offensively from the likes of Lars Eller, Devontae Smith-Pelly, Andrei Burakovsky with his two goals in Game 7 of the East Final. They haven't had that three games into this series against Carolina. With the exception of Lars Eller's empty net goal to seal Game 1 last week, you're looking at Brett Connolly without a point, Burakovsky still seeking his first point, Jacob Vrana still seeking his first point of the series. Same with Carl Hagelin. There are a number of guys who, you know, even thinking back to their productivity in the regular season, Brett Connolly had 20 goals scored. There's an acknowledgement from some of those fellas I just referred to that they need to get going offensively, and if they do get going offensively, obviously, given the way the likes of Backstrom and Ovechkin have been able to find the net so far this series, you'd like to think that bodes well. And I've been saying throughout this series, Jordan, even before the series started, among the areas the Capitals, at least on paper, have an edge and an advantage in, it's the bottom six depth. Carolina is very much a top-heavy team. And the Capitals, when you start to look at the bottom six forwards, it is an area that they could potentially take advantage of, and they haven't up until this point. But obviously, a lot of series left to potentially change that narrative.
All right. Put on your prediction hat if you can and gaze into the crystal ball for me. What happens in game four, and do you anticipate this series going more than five games?
Well, let's start with tomorrow. I would anticipate a strong response from Washington tomorrow. And, you know, particularly keep tabs on the first period, trying to get that crowd out of it. They were very energetic. The Hurricanes obviously fed off that in their Game 3 win on Wednesday. I would think the Capitals tomorrow, if they could jump out to a better start, a stronger start, maybe take an early lead, I would see them, you know, maintaining that and preserving that, not unlike Games 1 and 2 where the Hurricanes had a little fight back. But if you put Carolina behind, if you get them chasing the game, you'll put yourself in good position. And that being said, Jordan, if the Capitals can win tomorrow, I would anticipate they could close it out on Saturday. All that being said, if the Hurricanes win tomorrow, boy, oh boy, buckle up, because this thing, well, we know for sure would be going six, but wouldn't surprise me at that point if it even goes the distance.
All right, one last question before I let you go. The Alex Ovechkin fight with Andrei Svechnikov has re-sparked the debate on fighting in hockey. Do you think the NHL should do more to limit or eliminate fighting? And do you think that because Svechnikov got hurt as a result of the fight, that this is sort of the only reason it's brought the anti-fighting sentiment to the forefront?
Well, I think that the anti-fighting sentiment, it's been at the forefront for some time. I think maybe this just maybe reignites the debate, if you will, but it's obviously been a conversation piece for some time. I think at the end of the day, Jordan, though, the fighting has been decreasing in the NHL over the past few years. We're seeing less and less of it. Is that a sign of what ultimately could come and they get rid of fighting altogether? Maybe. I think the fact that it is still in there to a degree helps police the game. I do believe that. I'm in that camp, and I think the fact that we see it less and less, we're seeing far fewer of the quote-unquote staged fights that we used to see even as recently as 10, 15 years ago. those are being eliminated. The few fights that we do see, often they've been building. They're rarer and rarer, but often there is a reason behind them, if you follow. They've been building maybe over a number of games, over the course of a regular season series. And if ultimately players feel that's the way to settle a score or two, I don't necessarily have an issue with it. That being said, I anticipate the trend is going to continue, that we're going to see fewer and fewer fights in the league. And if ultimately, it's almost as if, Jordan, that they're almost getting rid of the game themselves. They don't need the NHL to step in other words, the players. There's been fewer and fewer of them. This really was a rare instance the other night. And that being said, I don't think anything happens for another few years until the next collective bargaining agreement comes up. But I think until then, I think the trend of fewer and fewer fights just continues to sort of play itself out, as it has over the past few years already.
That is Ben Raby of the Capitals Radio Network. Once again, you can listen to him and John Walton and Ken Sabourin with all the coverage from Raleigh and in D.C. the rest of this series. Ben, I know you got to jump, so thank you very much for the time. As always, I really appreciate it, and I will see you Game 4 and Game 5.
All right, so we'll look forward to that. Appreciate it, Jordan. Thank you.
Sure thing. Thank you.